Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. My name is Shawn Marie Torrey, and you are joining us for Business is Personal, What You Do and Why You Do It Matters. And with me today is another incredible leading lady, Madison Canary. And Madison is the founder and owner and yogi of Yoga in Motion. And Madison, after 10 plus years of being an incredible ballerina and dancer, sustained a life-changing injury which prevented her from moving or continuing to dance. And she did what I know a lot of women have experienced or even maybe experiencing now, and she did a complete course correction and started practicing yoga to heal her body, and as a result fell in love with the practice and is now a leading yoga instructor, not only in Orange County, but she travels all over the country to teach yoga to women just like you and I, and to also train other women to become incredible instructors just like her. So, Madison, I would love to welcome you to today's show. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Shawn Marie. I really appreciate it.
It is so my pleasure. And just a really quick backstory. I had the pleasure of leading a really incredible workshop for five female entrepreneurs. And for those of you that don't know, I'm actually a business strategist, and my specialty is business and brand development. And as part of our workshop, I wanted to include yoga every morning before we got into the heady and heartfelt work that we were all doing together. And Madison was our instructor. And so the girls all got private yoga instruction with Madison every morning, and it was absolutely incredible. And Madison, I just want to tell you that you are so good at what you do, and I'm certainly sorry that you came to this by way of an injury, but we are so lucky to have you doing what you do. So thank you, and it was such a treat working with you.
Oh, well, it was wonderful to be there and to see those women change so much through their movement and through getting into their bodies. It was very rewarding, so I appreciate the opportunity.
No, it was my pleasure. And, you know, and you just really said something that is very true, and there was an absolute shift for them. And the reason I wanted to start with yoga was because the work that we're doing around strategy and business development, it really requires some deep dive stuff and pulling up stuff and looking at what's really working and what isn't. And I just felt like starting the practice off with you and with some body movement would help them to be more present when we actually sat down to do this work. And there was such a huge shift. So, again, for anyone who is considering yoga as a practice, I want to tell you that it has a profound effect on your business. And speaking of that, Madison, I would love, because I know that one of the things that you do that I was really inspired by is that not only do you teach privately and are you contracted by many, many studios to go and teach as part of their curriculum, but you also have brought yoga into businesses and into corporations. And I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to that, and I'm curious if the idea of that, especially with more mainstream, you know, corporate type environments, have you been met with any resistance, and how is that going?
Yeah, you know, your workshop last weekend, the little bit that I was there, learned so much, and I think that is so perceptive of you to really start the day by getting into the body. This is definitely a shift that we're seeing kind of in corporate thought and in business thought, that we need to kind of honor and respect the bodies that we're working in and working from. And so we're definitely starting to see that trickle into companies. You've seen it start in things like eBay and Google, and I think we're all kind of familiar with how they will offer lunchtime yoga 3 days a week, and that they have actually shown that productivity can double with people just taking 30 minutes to move and breathe and sit and open up their bodies. So we're definitely starting to see that shift and that paradigm shift. I teach personally for Roxy and for Nordstrom's at South Coast Plaza and Nordstrom's at Fashion Island, and then a couple other clothing stores. And it's kind of the same way. They have me come in during their lunch break or right after work, and to see the difference in them as people from when they walk in the front door and then when they leave, to see how much more grounded and how much more open they are and how much more peace they are, especially when you work a job that is demanding as retail, where you're on your feet and you're in high-stress situations all day long. You know, I have women telling me that just taking a couple minutes to go in the dressing room and take a couple yoga poses is, you know, lowering their blood pressure and just helping them get through the day. So, it's really an amazing thing to see these women take the tools that I'm giving them and then utilize it in their everyday lives. I know, me too. The first time my student told me that she took something that we did in class, used it during her day, and saw a literal change, it was just so rewarding. It was kind of that ultimate, like, aha moment for me. I'm actually seeing a lot of people really embrace. I haven't met too much resistance to. I think that yoga has become so mainstream now that we're kind of a little bit past that point where there's too much resistance. I would say even 5 years ago we weren't there, but now, I mean, they're offering it in law schools and they're offering it in every college that you can go to. And so I think we're really seeing people make that shift of accepting yoga as something that is important and something that is good for you. And I think a lot of the resistance would come from kind of fear of spirituality or religious affiliation. And now that it's kind of pervading in culture, people are seeing that that doesn't have to be a part of the practice. That part of the practice is just getting into your body and breathing and being present.
That's fantastic, Madison. And, you know, I think you bring up a really interesting point that there may be that undertone that, you know, maybe people who aren't as aware of what the practice is really about. So what I'd love to do is, especially if we have any of our incredible guests listening who would love to see this become part of their corporate culture, or even if it's, you know, a smaller business run by, you know, a successful entrepreneur, what might you suggest they could do to start this conversation? Or, you know, is there something, is there something on your website? Is there a short Q&A? Or, like, how do women get this conversation started and move closer to this being part of, I mean, because I can think of 20 women who I'm connected with through Connected Women of Influence who work in a pretty standard corporate environment who are not offering this. So what might be a great way to start off that conversation?
You know, that's a great point, because for as many people out there as there are that think it would be a wonderful idea, there also is as many who think that it has maybe no place in the workplace, or that there's not time, or I've heard kind of like liability issues, or, you know, different things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I approached another kind of big retail store very close to Nordstrom's, and they expressed that they didn't feel like it was appropriate to have in the workplace. They felt like it was too much of a liability to have people moving and taking time out of their day to focus on something else. At that point, it really is just, it's education, and it also comes down to the bottom line. The approach that I take when I'm trying to get into bigger companies is presenting them with the statistics and with the research that shows how considerably their productivity of their people will go up once they incorporate this into their routine, once they incorporate this into their week. You know, if you're talking to a business that is by the bottom line, then you have to approach them by the bottom line. And then usually once you kind of get it in there, they start to see that effect and see that change, and it's a little more widely open for them. I definitely have information on my website that you're more than welcome to go to if it's something that you'd really like to approach your business with. You can also approach me directly, and I'm more than happy to kind of work with you to approach your business with maybe with like some research or with some information, just kind of contacting them and getting that conversation going. And I think that it takes just not being afraid to stand up and to talk to people and to say that this is something that you think would be beneficial.
That is such great advice, Madison. And you're right, a lot of companies, it really is driven by the bottom line. And I'm not saying that the liability isn't a valid point to address, but I can't help but feel that there are certainly people that kind of, that's their go-to because, you know, they're not really sure how to address the fact that they just don't see the value in it. So I think that that is absolutely brilliant advice. So thank you for that. And something else I wanted to ask you about, Madison, because you, like myself, are also an entrepreneur and you have a really busy schedule. And I know that in my 20s, I worked at several gyms, and for a period of about 9 months, I was teaching no less than 6 45-minute to one-hour aerobic classes a day. And I would still work out, and people would be like, why are you working out? You've just taught all these classes. And and I'm wondering for you, like, how do you, being a busy entrepreneur, like, how do you set aside time or create the container so that you are addressing and practicing your own self-care in the midst of running a really busy and successful practice?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's always, you know, as a busy woman, whether you're a busy mom or busy in the workplace or, you know, whatever it is that's pulling on your time, I think that one of the biggest struggles that we have is finding that balance of taking care of ourselves and making sure that we schedule time for ourselves just like we schedule any other appointment in our book. And so that's the habit that I've really had to get myself into. Is for me, I sit down on Monday because Monday is kind of the end of my busiest time, the weekend. I'll sit down on Monday and I will look at classes and I will look at, you know, maybe a workshop I want to go to or even just, you know, time with girlfriends or time going to the beach and sitting and reading. And I will schedule that in just like I schedule in every class I have to go to and every business meeting that I have to make it to. And I make that an appointment with myself and I make that a date and an agreement with myself. And I find that if I start to lose those, then, you know, it's probably not the day that I forget or the next day that I see a difference. But 3 or 4 days later, if I've neglected my self-care, I find myself being more frazzled and less present and less grounded. It especially has taken on a whole new level now that I travel and work, because traveling, you already have that innate kind of problem of your diet is different and, you know, you're in a new place and you're staying somewhere else and you have to figure out where you're going. So it kind of adds that whole other level of really being able to get lost and really being able to not take care of yourself. And it really is just making the point to wake up every morning and schedule it out and make sure that you know that in your day you won't just be taking care of everyone else, you'll be taking care of yourself as well, whatever that means to you.
I love that, Madison, and, you know, and I'm wondering, too, because this was certainly a trap that I fell into, and that was if I wasn't working out at least an hour, it just didn't feel like it was, like, it was like, what is the point? You know, and that was certainly at a point where I was pretty manic about getting my exercise in, and I don't care whether I was in Paris or Mexico, one of the very first things I would do was find out where there was a gym. And I'm not nearly. Actually, I could use a little bit more of that these days. But I know that you and I are going to be working together after the new year, so that's about to shift for me. But what would you say to women who just think, you know, who really feel like that 15 minutes or that 10 minutes or doing a couple of poses in the dressing room doesn't matter. I mean, because I think it really does. So what would you say to women that only have like an extra 30 minutes in the morning or, you know, who feel like
absolutely.
They just don't have enough time?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like that's the number one thing that I do to sabotage myself is if that full hour isn't going to be allotted to going to the gym or going for a jog or going to a class, then it's all or nothing thinking. Like, oh, well, I
mm-hmm.
might as well just not even bother then. And
right.
you know, the more research that I read, I very recently kind of read a book, and it's called The Depression Cure. I'm working with a private client right now who is trying to kick some really severe depression and is utilizing yoga as one of the means. And so in this book, he talks about how walking 30 minutes a day, 3 to 4 times a week, releases the same chemicals in our brain that Prozac does. So we're releasing the same amounts of serotonin and the same amounts of dopamine and all these wonderful things that we usually would take a pill for. We can receive through 30 minutes of aerobic exercise 3 times a week. And, you know,
oh
they
gosh.
Show that even walking, isn't that just amazing?
It's incredible.
Even walking for 10 minutes a day, and we're not even talking power walking, like getting up and walking around your block for 10 minutes ups creativity, ups oxygenation in the bloodstream, ups the feel-good serotonin in our brain. It just can completely change your day by literally just getting out and walking those 10 minutes. So I find myself saying, you know what, even if it's not going to make a difference, why not be a little active more than not? You know, it's better to do a little something than not. And I think we'll be amazed with the difference that we see.
Oh, my gosh, Madison. I absolutely love that you said that because I know that there are countless people who, you know, they don't share it with anybody, but who are taking something so
mm-hmm.
that they can feel better. And I think a lot of it is just, you know, general fatigue and working really long hours and feeling stressed and, you know, and it's certainly, you know, this is no judgment against, you know, anybody that chooses to go that route. But I feel like there is certainly a component missing that I've seen in, you know, in the general practice of medicine. And I don't think this is ever looked at as an alternative to putting somebody on some kind of medication. And, you know, just the fact you know, that you are even bringing this to the surface to talk about it, I think it is incredibly important. And is that study by any chance on your website?
I can definitely link to it on my website. That would not be a problem at all.
I think that would be really great, Madison. So again, you know, at the end when I let everyone know how they can reach you, you know, if it's not there right away, that they could certainly check back if, you know, if they're interested in getting that information. And I think, too, that might be something that's really great to share with their employers. You know, I think it's just one more solid reason why, you know, any kind of movement or taking a break from the day, you know, is going to not only be great for their team, but it's going to support the company's bottom line. And, you know, and I certainly
mm-hmm.
don't think that's not a bad thing to talk about. So, but thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's incredibly important. And, you know, something else that I wanted to chat with you about, especially given the theme for today's show, which was collaboration, competition, and compassion, what really works in business. And I know that you and I have had a conversation recently about this whole thing around competition. And I think you and I both, mm-hmm. Madison, and that's not to say that it's not the case for a lot of people, but you had shared with me that one of the statistics is that there's about 5,000 plus new yoga instructors coming into the industry every year. And it is very similar numbers for my industry, which is consulting and coaching and that type of thing, because that's certainly the arena that I kind of get included in. And I think that it's really, it can certainly feel daunting, you know, and for, you know, for those of us that are out there, you know, working in an entrepreneurial field, it's really interesting. And I've certainly heard people say, you know, why would you want to be in an industry that is so saturated? And so, you know, just from the perspective of competition, I'm wondering, like, what are some things that you do to not only set yourself apart and differentiate yourself in the marketplace, but how do you keep that kind of monkey chatter, that mind chatter that, you know, that can get to all of us and say, oh, my God, like, why are you doing this? There's going to be, we're literally days away from a new year, and so we could safely say, you know, there's 5,000 brand new yoga instructors that just hit the scene. You know, so how do you kind of keep that mindset and that negative chatter, which can happen, how do you keep that at bay?
Yeah, you know, some of the best advice that I've been given from mentors, one of my mentors told me that, first of all, a little bit of competition can be really good. You know, market that demands that you always be at your best and that you always be giving everything that you have and that you always be at the top of your game delivering the best that you can is a good thing. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be in an industry, to be following your passion, and then also to know that it demands your best because it keeps you in that headspace of always giving your best. And then another piece of advice that I was given was that you're only in competition if you're doing what everyone else is doing. So you're only competing if you're doing the same thing that everyone around you is doing. And so, you know, it's always that journey to be your most authentic self, to teach from your most unique place, and to offer that special something that only you have. And once you're really offering your authentic voice, then you're not in competition because no one else is like you. So that's kind of my mindset is always to embrace the competition, to allow it to refine me, to make me stronger, to make me more focused, and then also to realize or to always be searching and realizing what is it that I'm offering? Why am I different? Why am I unique? And how can I really tap into that and serve and be from that space?
Good for you, Madison. I love that. And, you know, I think you and I talked about this a little bit too. I know that for me, which is something that Danielle Laporte talks about, that generosity is part of my bottom line. And I've collaborated with women who would be considered competitors, and I know you have as well. And I think that it can be, there's just times, I think, especially as women, where we can kind of go there and second guess a little bit or you know, start to feel like, we're doubting, you know, our value, but you said something that I think is really key, and that is that, you know, there is something that is unique to you that nobody else has. You know, it's like our thumbprint. You know, it's like you leave an impression that no one else has. And I know one of the things that I lead with a lot is that I am not going to be the right fit for everyone. But I think when you said, you know, really like bringing your best self, I love that, Madison. I really do. And I've met, hundreds of yoga instructors, and not one of them had that special something that you have. And I think you're amazing. I really do. And I think the industry is incredibly lucky to have you. And I know that you are. That you're up to some really incredible things, and we're all certainly excited to see what's next for you.
Well, you're so kind. Thank you. I definitely feel that I have found my personal legend, that thing that my soul is calling me towards, and I think that that's also one thing, and I'm sure you can relate with this because I see the way that you serve those women for this workshop and the way that you serve the people in your business. Once you've found what you really truly know is what you have to be doing, then a lot of that fear can be dissipated because you know that there's no other option. You know that this is the way that life is going to be. This is who you are. This is what you have to chase. And so with that comes faith that the universe, the world, whatever it might be, will help you along that path. And as long as you stay true and aim true, then you will continue to be guided towards success.
I completely agree, Madison. Well, my dear, we have one last question that I love to close with, and we are at the 5-minute mark. So if you would like to close out our show with this last question, I would be completely honored. But our show is called Business is Personal, What You Do and Why You Do It Matters. And so I would like to know, from your opinion, do you think that business is indeed personal?
I think that for a very long time, business was not personal. I think that this is a paradigm shift, that we currently are standing on that edge and on that change. I think coming out of the worst, the worst depression that we've seen since the Great Depression has really led people to ask for more out of their work than financial compensation. You know, I think that it's really brought up in us, especially women, that we need to be doing something that we feel deeply connected to and something that we feel serves those around us and offers something greater to the whole than just financial stability. And so I think we have and are making business personal. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. You know, everything should be personal. We are all people. And the more we relate on that level and the more we relate with our, like, with our similarities instead of our differences, and the more connected that we are. But that also means that now more than ever, we're navigating what it means to relate with people on a personal business level, because now things are deeper. Now things are, you know, they hit us a little deeper. They affect us a little more. There's more on the line. But I think that just as we're called to make the shift, we will also be called to navigate this new paradigm and to navigate this new way of relating with people in business. And, you know, I think that it just takes that deep awareness of who we are and where we're coming from, and then that deep honor, respect, and compassion dealing with those around us, knowing that we're all kind of navigating this together.
Madison, I could not have said that better myself. That was so beautiful. And I wish you knew what a treat it was for me to have you on our show today. So I cannot thank you enough. I am incredibly grateful, and I know that you are so busy. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking this time out with us today. And I feel like as we are wrapping up a new year, and, this is such a fertile time where people are setting goals and making declarations and wanting, you know, to change. And I think you gave our listeners some beautiful suggestions on self-care, and what a treat it was to have you with us today, Madison. So thank you so, so much.
Oh, thank you for asking me. It really was a privilege, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, I'm so glad, my dear. Thank you. And I just want to let all of our listeners know that in addition to being incredibly grateful for Madison's insight and encouragement and her time, if any of you would like to get in touch with Madison, she does work in Orange County, but she also travels all over the country. And you can reach her at Ms. Madison, and that's M-I-Z-Z, Madison, at gmail.com. Or you can check out more and learn more about Madison and visit those links that she had mentioned to us at yogainmotion.com. And that's yoga, Y-O-G-A, the letter N, motion, M-O-T-I-O-N.com. So Yoga in Motion, Madison Canary has been our guest. And Madison, we will be looking forward to hearing what is next for you, my dear. And I just want to thank our listeners once again for tuning in. We love having you here. And I will be back next month in January. My show is the fourth Monday of every month. And we will have another amazing woman leading the way and sharing with us some great advice and insights on how you can also keep business personal. Bye, everyone. Happy holidays.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connected.com. connectedwomenofinfluence.com.